Hey guys, this is Salem from the Arcanum of Azeroth podcast at arcanumofazeroth.com, and you're listening to The Ladies of Leet.
Welcome back to Lazily for October 6th, 2012. This is episode 58, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I am Kim.
Tired Kim.
I'm Stephanie.
And we have a special guest with us, another Nicole. It's going to be so confusing. Two Nicoles in the same show. We have Nicole Wakelin of Geek Mom and the D6 Generation. Thank you so much for coming on the show,
Thank
Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited, although confused with the two Nicole things. So.
Yeah. Nicole 1, Nicole 2. Nicole 1, Nicole 2. Sorry, it was a little Wayne's World for... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just want to say I love your last name because every time I read it, I think of Alan Wake. And that's like one of my favorite games.
Well, I'm glad there's a positive association with my last name. That makes me happy.
A scary, monster-y, freaky game.
No, Alan Wake is awesome. He's like,
game, there's worse things you could think of, you know.
Very true.
Shooting things and going around. for those that are listening that are not familiar with Geek Mom and the D6 Generation, do you want to give everybody kind of an idea of, because I listen to Geek Mom and it's just, yeah. I love, because I'm a new mom, so I'm actually going to pick your brain about gaming mom stuff.
Uh-oh. Geek Mom, the Geek Moms podcast goes along with the Geek Mom blog, which is one of Wired's blogs. So you can go to Wired and you can see the Geek Mom blog. And it's all parents who are really nerdy in their own ways that write about the different experiences they have with their kids and talk about products and all that kind of stuff. And the podcast is just another outlet for us to share what we experience as parents and for me to talk to people who I think are in some way relevant to the geeky parents of the world.
That's
and
awesome.
There's a lot of us out there.
I'm so glad.
There are so many of us.
I love the term geekling.
Geekling, yes, geekling. Yeah, you don't have kids, you have geeklings. Yeah. So that's what the Geek Moms podcast is. And then the D6 Generation podcast I actually have been doing before that. And that's, I have a segment on that one. And that's a gaming podcast, but it's more board games and miniature war games. And, not the Sorry and the Monopoly, but the fancy games you get. Box with a million little pieces that you have to have like a fishing tackle box to store them all sorted out. So,
yeah, I lose pieces all the time.
Yeah, let me tell you, we tried Uncharted at Dragon Con. Uncharted board game?
What?
Holy smokes, was that horrible.
Well, Ralph brought that to Nerdtacular, and we opened it up, and we looked at it, and we're like, no. And put it right back.
That's what I did with the World of Warcraft one. The board. Remember, I had purchased the World of Warcraft board game, and I'm like overwhelmed. Too many pieces.
There's some games that we popped out of the box, and they look so good when they're in the box, and you open up the box, and they have that new game smell.
Yeah.
Fresh ink, and it smells so good, and you can't wait to play. But once you've punched out. Like 2,000 tokens, and you've sorted out 500 cards. You're like, oh my god, that took me 3 hours. I don't have time to play
the game. What are you talking about?
Like, I'll just do this another day. Just leave it strewn over the kitchen table. We'll come back.
Well, we do love board games, and we talk about board games on occasion on this show. But we're going to be talking about some video games on this episode. Borderlands 2, again, I'm sorry guys, again, hopefully you like this game because we love it. A little bit of Torchlight 2, Kingdom's Rush, and we have a few iPhone games and fun little free games that we'll talk about, and WoW of course is out there, which I still haven't, I've yet to install it. So we talked about last episode Borderlands 2 kind of greatly, a lot.
Oh yes.
Like 30 minutes of it. And I know for me, I think I was at level 18. I'm now level 26.
Excellent.
I saw Stephanie. You're like almost 30.
I just hit 30.
Oh my god! Yeah,
this afternoon.
And so Kim,
you're starting to hit the big storyline now.
Yeah.
Too.
So last episode, Stephanie, you said to me, we were talking about Tiny Tina, which is the little 13-year-old, yes, awesome, mm-hmm, little Spitfire.
Oh wait, Kim, you got to meet her, yes?
Yes, yes. I got to meet her, and I couldn't. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like on her. I had to go get the Sir Reginald or somebody, and I'm like, I want to do this, but I was so
Princess
tired.
Fluffy Butt.
And I'm like, I want to keep playing.
Nicole, how far are you into Borderlands 2? Because I know you said you were playing this as well.
Yeah, I want to say I'm at about level 21.
Nice.
Ooh, excellent.
So you've met Tina. You've gotten that storyline going.
Yeah, so I've gotten that storyline going. And I was also up too late playing it. It's the thing with the kids is they wake you up early. So when you're up gaming late, oh, go to bed. I was playing Borderlands 2. Shush.
Well, if we weren't recording this, I would be playing Borderlands 2 right now because Mateo is napping. And that's like my time. So
mommy time.
What's kind of... So Steam collects your time of how long you've been playing the game. The problem is I pause my game and then I go take care of Mateo. I'll go make dinner. So it looks like I am playing this game like 100 hours a week.
Like 14 hours straight, right?
Yeah, because in the game you have save points, but sure, when you log out, so like for instance, I was on a quest where I was doing a Mordecai quest where he wanted me to release all these animals.
Oh, right.
I was deep in, and I knew if I turned the game off, I would have to start all the way at the back at the beginning at the travel station and work all my way. You know, I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm just pausing the game and I'm going to go do my thing. So my game time looks ridiculous on this game, but it's so good. It so much.
Oh,
there's just
yeah,
a few things that I would tweak on it, but the storyline, I don't think I've ever, and I said this on the final score, I don't think I've ever played a game where the boss fight actually means something to me. Like, mm-hmm, I want to kill Handsome Jack. Like, I want, like, I can't believe that it invoked this motion. I'm like, oh, these audio things are really upsetting me.
That's what's happening to me when I hear, you know, all of a sudden his voice is there. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm, just be quiet. Ooh, where are you? Can I kill him? I just can't stand him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm to the point in the game now that Angel, the guardian angel, mm-hmm, I just want, every time she comes up, I'm like, you be. What? Get out of my screen, you know?
You are not helping.
Yeah. You're not my friend anymore. No, go away. Go away.
I'm glad she does, because she shows up a lot in the beginning, and then they use her, like, sparsely, through, you know, later on, which is nice. So
realize we'd all be ready to kill her.
So Nicole, what are you playing? Are you
I'm playing a siren. I'm doing a
I'll do it. Except yep, for Kim. Kim's doing the commando, which I think I'm gonna try the gunzerker when I get through the siren.
I kind of want to try it just because it's not a berserker, it's a gunzerker.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a gunzerker.
I love all the guns in this game. It's crazy. So
what I hope they change. More bag space.
Oh, yeah. More bag space.
Seriously. Running out of bag space.
Well, I thought I could buy more and more with the, what's it called?
Uridium.
Your uridium. But that whole transaction, I noticed it was kind of like the same of the colors. The first level's white, the next is green, mm-hmm, then blue, then purple, and then orange. And then you're done. You don't have any more.
Yep.
So... like, man, I really am kind of bummed out I don't have more bag space.
Yeah.
I keep throwing stuff away because I feel like I'm going to get something really cool that I want and I'm not going to have room for it. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to part with this thing now while I can
part
with
it. You're selling it, not
just
dropping.
Yes, selling it, right. But I'm like, I'll sell it because I might need that spot. What if I don't have it and I don't have any more room? I can't risk what could be out there that's cooler. So,
yeah, my problem is I hold on to things too long. And I finally today, I got down to like 10 items in my bag. because I was like,
I've never been that low.
I know. Well, I got tired of not being able to pick things up. So
well, and you get tired of doing the shuffle. You know, yes. It's like, oh, I like that gun, but let me see which one do I have to drop. Oh, okay, I'll drop that one. Or your, you know, the grenades, which grenade one that you want to use, and the class mods. And, you know, I get tired of doing the shuffles. So that's why I get rid of stuff. So then I can just pick it up and do like bulk cells. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to worry about that one off shuffle every time.
What's your favorite type of grenade? I have a favorite.
Ooh, I have a favorite too.
The one that I like the most, I think, is I have one that it breaks up into seven children, mm-hmm. and then it puts people on fire. That's the one that I use the most.
What about you, Nicole?
Oh, I don't know for a grenade. I'm so into the guns.
haven't been paying attention to the grenades, because there's, for me, I have one grenade that breaks up into, I think, five childs of the grenade.
and it is...
The corrosion.
Oh,
and
nice.
It steals health and sends it back to me.
That's true.
So not only is it doing damage, it's also stealing their health, and it returns it to me.
Ooh, that's a nice one. And yeah. I love the corrosion when they're just all, you know, corroding away.
Little I love
that.
Stephanie, what about you? Do you have a you have a favorite grenade.
Yes. Okay, so here's mine. Mine is fire-based. And what happens is you throw the grenade and it doesn't break up. It hones in on one particular mob. Oh. And it lands at their feet, and then it kind of springs up like a sprinkler and just radiates fire in a pinwheel. It's amazing, especially if you have a whole bunch of mobs coming at you through a narrow corridor.
Sure, sure.
You just tag one of them, and then they all get roasted.
Nice.
And love that one to pieces.
Did you ever think someone listening to this that has no idea what we're talking about? Like, what is women?
What is wrong with these people?
It's awesome.
What's your favorite way to kill mobs? Well,
she says that is fantastic.
I always think about that, too. If you're talking, you know, these are only things that you would be talking about in a video game. You know, yeah. If you were talking like this at work, that would be, people would be like, oh my God.
That girl, get her out of here.
I killed a boss last night. That's bad when you're not talking about it. They don't know you're talking about a game. And you're trying your favorite way to kill something.
Kill the boss.
So did you guys get your shift codes? Did you guys see those?
I don't know what you're talking about. Stephanie said something about shift codes, but I signed up for that shift thing and I got a key, but I don't know what the code is that you're talking about.
This weekend.
What is it?
Yeah, it's a token that Steam has been putting, or not Steam, Gearbox has been putting out all weekend. And they've done like five of them now. And you go through your shift and it's in extras. So in the menu where it says extras, you go through your extras and you sign up for the shift all in line, which was really cool. I never had to leave the game and put in my token. And now I've got three golden keys sitting there waiting for me so I can use them anytime I want.
You need to follow them on Twitter because that's how they've been putting them out this whole weekend. They have one for Xbox 360, one for PS3, one for PC, but they're only valid for 3 hours. And then they're out. So that's why you have to be following them on Twitter.
I've seen them on Twitter, and it's like you see them and you have to run. It's like, oh my God, get out of the way. I got to get into the
you know? I'm sorry, Mateo. I know I need to feed you, but mommy has to put in the code into the computer.
Hold that thought for 1 minute, child.
I just got to put this code in. But they made it so easy that you can do it all through game, you know, with just going to that extras and putting it in. So now, but now I'm like scared to use them. I'm like, okay, I've got three golden keys. I have three golden keys. When am I going to use them? You know, and then.
A good level. Yeah.
See, if I had three, I would use one at 30, 40, and 50.
Right.
Oh, I used one already. I used one at 20.
See, I used one accidentally at like level 10.
I used one at eight.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
But now
what would happen?
I think they're going to be doing this more though. So I think we're going to get more keys, which is awesome. You know, it's like I see that pop up and I'm like, you know, it's like crack. Okay.
God. I got a key. Let's go.
It's like a golden ticket.
Yes,
it's a breakout ticket. Song and
better than chocolate.
So I think it's safe to say that all four of us are enjoying Borderlands 2.
Yes,
such a cool game. I found a bug in it. When you're in the Highlands, did you know that there's like these wind things, and you go up to them and you touch the pole.
Socks.
Yeah, and you discover, it's like these discovery points, and so there's I think 8 of them, and there's one that's really hard to get to, and you can get to a couple ways, but you have to go through a whole mess of bad guys and then drop down and hope that you land on the ledge. But so I discovered it, and then I noticed there was like this kind of hole in the wall of the cave, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's actually something I can go to. Yeah. So I went in, and then I just dropped down, and the next thing I know, I'm floating, and I can see the world from below.
That's
and I'm just floating, and I'm floating. I'm like, I wonder if it's gonna stop or what's gonna go on.
And then, change this.
And then the next thing I see in the far distance is this lone white square, and I think maybe if I shoot it, something cool is going to happen.
Right?
The game is definitely
ultra secret.
It tries to invoke that hunt. You know, you're hunting for neat things and cool little, you know, discoveries. So, of course, you know, I'm like going in every single corner. This is like an explorer's dream. So, yeah. I'm curious, have any, let's go down the line again. What's been kind of your favorite little discovery or funny or any favorite part of the game so far? So, Kim, I'll start with you.
Well, now that I just got the little... what's her name?
Tina.
Oh, girl. Tina. Tina's been my favorite part so far. And just
awesome.
All her phrases. And in fact, that whole line was a lot of fun. You know, getting crumpets and getting the
Princess,
extra metal.
Princess Fluffy Butt.
Yeah, it was just so much fun. And then the drawings. So I took the picture of, you know, there's these bunny drawings on the buildings and stuff. And I like all those little touches that they do. And it just makes it fun. It's like, okay, here's a little pink bunny in the middle of all this carnage. So that's been my favorite so far.
How about you, Nicole?
You know what I really liked? It was there's a badass point that you get, and it's a Star Wars reference. And because I'm a Star Wars nerd like no other, it made me so happy. You throw this grenade into an exhaust port, and it says, like, that's impossible even for a computer. You know, a targeting computer that turns off. And I was so distracted. I, like, forgot. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's a Star Wars reference. Oh, I'm going to die. I got to pretend. Like,
I've had a few of those moments, too.
That was just a favorite moment for me. I love those little things that reference other games, and it referenced my favorite nerdiness, which, you know, Star Wars. So
there's a ton in this game, too. So it's really cool when things pop up, you know. I was like, oh, wow, look at that.
Like inside reference. How about you, Steph? I know you probably have a few.
Oh, I have a ton. One of my favorites was Scooter is trying to woo a woman, and he sends you on quests to take pictures of things that are inspirational. And yeah, they're not what you think they are. Then he writes this poem, and he makes you read it to
her. The spooning was awesome. The robot spooning the bandit.
It was so funny. But Scooter kind of freaked me out. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say about Scooter?
He's freaking you out?
Him and his sister.
Oh, yeah. Have you done the Clan Wars yet?
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
The whole Clan Wars thing. Okay. So there's an... Because most of us have played MMOs, so we're all familiar with the term farming, where you find a location that has good resources and you just keep hitting it over and over and over again. So here's what I want to share with you. If you are in your top teens or early 20s, this is the perfect spot for you to be. You want to go to the town of Overlook, and go in, and this is after you've done the quest with Ellie where you start the clan war between the redneck hillbillies and the Irish.
Oh, so you're talking about the Holy Spirits.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to hit that bar, the Holy Spirits, once you've got the quest to go inside the bar and trace where they store their money, you can go back and hit that over and over and over again. It will get you about $2,000 to $3,000 every time that you hit it. And there's a gun case at the top of a ramp.
I didn't know.
I seriously walked out of there at the end. I had $130,000.
I did.
Just that. Oh my god! That
for about 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh wow. I didn't
and
know you could go back.
And guns. Yeah, they're all the guns that spawn are level 20.
You know, so, Roxy will give you a pretty good them. Gun if you give her like $15,000
mm-hmm.
in tips.
Yeah, and this is where you can get that money if you want to try. Moxie has a good touch gun and a bad touch gun. So if you want to give her $30,000, you can get those two guns. But yeah, this is the spot that you want to go to. There's tons of weapon caches, so you can restore all your ammo without buying it.
I haven't had
it.
Any problem with money.
You yeah, know? But see, the problem is now, since I have so much money, it costs a ton when I die. Oh. It's all but $10,000, like $9,800 every time I die. So I don't like dying. I don't like that.
So one of my favorite quests so far, and it's the result of the quest that makes me like it so much, is this quest that you pick up outside of Roxy's, and you pick up an Echo, and it sends you on a quest line to find out about this gun called the Bane.
Oh, my Lord, that gun!
Oh. So, the Bane, I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything like that. Just go find the gun. Do the quest line, go all over the place and find the gun. Then use the gun. You will laugh
so hard.
Oh, yes.
All around tip, use the gun.
Use whatever it is. Just use the gun. Well, there's a curse on the gun, and you're like,
yes.
And when I first picked it up, I'm like, should I not pick it up? Should I? How can it be? You know? But yeah. Just I had to put the gun in my bank because I couldn't. Yeah, it's a good quest. It's funny.
Ironically, in the same town, Overlook, there's a bulletin board that gives you jobs, and eventually one of them will pop up to kill 100 bandits.
Oh,
and once you do that, it gives you an amazing sniper rifle that does 968 points of damage. So it's amazing, right?
See, I haven't been
Here's
going
the
back
thing.
Because
it talks to you every time you reload, like a nagging wife. She's like. Oh, you wouldn't have to reload if you were a better shot. Look at you wasting ammo. You know, there's people, kids starving that can't buy ammo. I mean, every time you reload, this thing's nagging.
Maybe
in your
the,
ear.
The
what?
Want that gun now?
But I love it. I will not part with that gun because it's hysterical.
So one of the things that I'm kind of keeping my eye out on is the DLC because. Really yes. looking forward to the DLC on this game. You can get a season pass, which will give you access to all of the, I think there's 4 or 5 DLCs mm-hmm. coming out. So the Mechromancer DLC is supposed to be coming out on the 16th of this month. So that's the next playable character. And unfortunately, this was the whole girlfriend mode crap that was leaked out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Had you heard about this, Nicole?
Yeah, I'd heard about the girlfriend mode thing. The poorly named,
the poorly internally named,
yeah.
portion of this DLC. So I'm she reminds me. Who does she remind me of? Because she has her little goggles on, her little pigtails. I don't know.
They've released Echo Recording, and it is the same person who voices Tiny Tina. So
oh, it is.
Oh,
it is. Nice. So, yeah, she has a companion named Death Trap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in playing her. So, yeah. Should be
but
fun.
You can only play her in when someone else is playing, right? I mean, is that what it is?
I know it's meant to be a support character. Yeah. It's meant to be like a team player rather than a standalone. Mm.
Yeah,
But I don't know any restrictions. Like, you can't initiate a game with that character, that
yeah,
sort of
thing.
I haven't
heard any of the restrictions on it either. I didn't think she was supposed to be a main character, but I thought you wanted to play her, you could use her.
Right.
Yeah, so
I'm
excited. Can't wait.
Did they say anything when the next DLC is coming out after?
No, they've just mentioned progress, you know, that gotcha. This the first one is obviously done. The next one is... almost done, and they talk about how they've worked out what they want 3 and 4 to be. So, but no definitive date. Yeah.
Cool game.
You can follow the Twitter.
She has her own. Yeah, what is it? Is it?
It's GBX Mechromancer.
Gearbox. Nice. Gearbox.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Brace for the story to start really hitting it in the late 20s.
Yeah, it does. When you go to Lynchwood, the whole Wild West kind of theme is pretty awesome. Yeah, I just left Lynchwood and
those food carts, that music was creeping me out. Like, seriously, I was like, do you guys hear that? What is that music?
I was really hoping. So there's what Stephanie's talking about is a quest line. You find an injured skag. And you don't, it's not a main quest line. It's just one of those side quests, and you can help it or you can just let it, move along. So I decided to help the dog. I really wanted it to be my pet.
Me too. Aww. I was like, please, come follow us.
I know. I'm like, can I please have this pet?
Doesn't stay with you. So you help him, and then he's like, whatever, I'm out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you want to find him a home.
You have to find him a home. Yeah. Okay, I haven't done that one, so.
Yeah, but that'd be kind of weird if you had a skag as a pet and then you were running over all his brothers and sisters and stuff and taking real joy in it.
That might bother
him. Well, you're going to think it's weird what you have to do for the dog.
I think this whole game is weird. There's so many weird things that you're just like doing these things and you're like, wow, really? I'm doing this?
But again, I've said this before. This game just feels like I care about this game more than I ever did with the first one. I'm more engaged in the story. I'm remembering characters. I'm usually not this engaged in just, it feels movie-like to me. Like, I'm playing through a movie, and this is a great storyline, and it's funny, and it's sad, and it's heartbreaking, and just so many levels of why I love this game.
It definitely manages to pull you into the world beyond just, I'm going to shoot this and get to the next level. You do get vested in
the first one was. It just was.
Yeah.
Did you play the first one? Nicole?
I did not play the first one. Actually, I call it backseat game to the first one. My husband played it, and I remember watching him play, but I didn't myself play that one.
Yeah, Stephanie played it all the way through. I couldn't get all the way through it. It felt very tedious to me, and I got very bored because it didn't pull me in. The story didn't pull me in, and I was just like, okay, we're going to go over here, kill some stuff, and go over here, kill some stuff. So I can't remember. Kim, did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished it and finished all the DLCs as well.
Oh, wow.
Now, didn't you enjoy the zombie DLC? I loved
that. The zombie one was a ton of fun.
I didn't even play any of that DLC.
It was all Dr. Zed and Dr. Zed.
He was a character, yeah. But yes. I'm kind of disappointed that we're not seeing more of the little robot right now.
Claptrap?
I mean, we see Claptrap, but he's not as prominent as he was in the first one. And I was kind of, since the first, since he led you to Sanctuary, you don't really see him that much anymore. You see him in the street doing his dub-dub and stuff like that, but that's about all. Or, I haven't gotten to the point where I've interacted with him much.
He plays a more important role later on.
Okay, good. Because not that I want a ton of Claptrap, but I like Claptrap and I'd like some more of him. So,
Kim. Fun, cute little thing.
Yeah.
There's no character I don't like, and I actually get a thrill every time I hear Hanson Vac come on because I love to hate his character.
Yeah,
things that he says are so hysterical. But
wait, I have a violin. I'm going to play this violin. Where's that violin?
When the first time he talked about that stallion, the pony made out of diamonds, I thought I was going to laugh out of my chair.
Yeah. he gets cheekier as you go along too. So
Now I'm at the dark stage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, something has happened and all the gloves are off now.
Uh-oh. So
he's very determined to kill
me. Now he's a little bit scary.
Yeah, now he's definitely scary because he's threatening to destroy the whole town, the sanctuary.
That is a little dark.
Well, he's been threatened that the whole he's been threatened turning that from the beginning.
Yeah, but he's always been just playful about it. Now,
no, it's not.
I can't reveal the spoilers, but yeah, something has happened.
It's no longer.
This game is hard to talk about because there are so many spoilers in it. Yeah. There, I mean, I'm at this part right now that I want to talk about because something has happened. But if I talk about it, it really is a big spoiler. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that to people, you know, because it was a total surprise to me.
Right.
So there's a lot of twists and turns in it that you don't really expect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's that's awesome. Sort of
and that's part of the draw.
I was just going to say that's part of what draws you in. There's enough happening that you see don't see it coming that when it happens, you're, oh my goodness, you're so caught off guard that it draws you back in. Of course, we can't say what those things are, but yeah.
Trust us, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's just awesome. So yeah, that's a huge part of what makes you want to see what happens next because you think you know, but you're clueless, you know, so.
Stephanie, I've been dying to ask you, have you found Michael yet?
Yes,
did
but
you?
Not on my main character.
Okay.
On my secondary character.
You found him, and he gave you a gun.
I've never found him on my first one, on my main.
Nicole, do you know who I'm talking about?
I do know who you're talking about, and I have not found him.
Oh, I found him like four times.
I have not.
I just
very strange.
Yeah, every time I go into Sanctuary, especially after a chapter change, I look for him everywhere, and I usually find him, and he usually gives me an awesome blue or purple gun.
I'm like, never found him on my main. Yeah. And I look for him.
How about
me,
you,
I
Kim?
Do.
Have you found Michael, right?
No.
No?
See, no. She's like me.
Just gotta look for him.
I feel better. I'm not the only one who hasn't found
him. Maybe I need to look for him then, because I don't think
really
I
need to look for him.
Okay, I haven't actively looked for him either. So maybe if I really pay attention, I'll pay attention. I'll see him all the time now.
You will. You'll find him. He is throughout Sanctuary, and he moves to, you know, sometimes he's in Scooters, sometimes he's in, you know, Roland's headquarters. Sometimes there was one time I found him outside of Claptrap's little station, you know, where your secret stash is. He was just outside of that. So he moves all around. So look for him. Free guns.
Free guns.
All right, let's move along. Unless there's anything else you'd like to, Nicole, is there anything that you would like to say about the game?
No, other than it being awesome. No, that covers it. Awesome.
All right, so Nicole. I am Nicole. Stephanie.
I'm Nicole. Wait a minute.
I feel like I'm talking to myself. Like, and almost referring to myself in the third person. Stephanie and I have both played. I've only cracked open Torchlight 2 a little bit. We kind of talked a little bit last time about it. But, Steph, have you played Torchlight 2 a little bit more?
Yeah, just a little more.
So, I mean, we were going to say this was going to be the game for the show. But, Kim, I know you've been kind of in deep with Borderlands 2. Honestly, I just want to play Borderlands 2. Nothing exists beyond this game.
I just want to play this game.
I don't know what's going on. I feel weird.
Up to an end. You're like, whatever, I can still play my game. I'm good.
So, I mean, for those that are not familiar with Torchlight or Torchlight 2, it is an action role-playing game. It's a dungeon crawler. Mm-hmm. And then it's a sequel to the first one. You can do multiplayer. Yeah, there's multiplayer.
Absolutely.
For it. Yeah, we need to do that because when we did multiplayer with Borderlands 2, I really enjoyed that.
Oh yes,
I'm always afraid of because you're far along now with Borderlands 2, so I might just get into a Torchlight 2 game with you then. So.
Oh, cool.
But this is a fun game. I was having a great time. I love the art style.
Yes. Love it.
So tell me what you like, what you're digging about the game. I mean, because, of course, people are comparing it to Diablo 3 and that whole...
Right, and naturally they should.
Yeah.
Because, the people that created Torchlight 2 came from Blizzard.
Exactly.
They worked on Diablo, so they left and created Torchlight and Torchlight 2. So it feels just like Diablo, but it has all the cool stuff that you remember from Diablo 1 and 2, not the Diablo 3.
See, I didn't play either 1 or 2, so I don't remember any of it. So, I mean, to me...
Diablo 2 was like the pinnacle. Diablo 2 was like, they got it all right. And, you know, What's the advantage to Torchlight? Well, I love the artwork better because it's more cartoony. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel doom and gloom. Like, I actually enjoy playing this. And you have a little pet companion. You can pick a ferret, a panther, a papillon. And they actually fight for you. And they can carry stuff for you, too, which is awesome when you're out picking up stuff.
I think I have a dog.
I picked the ferret. Because I have an engineer and an outlander.
What are you, Beastmaster?
No, I have an engineer who loves to just whack stuff, which is awesome. I love that. And then I also have an outlander, which they describe as someone who's comfortable both shooting guns and using
magic.
That's
what I picked. I picked an outlander.
Yeah, so your main attack is a gun, and then your alternate attack is a magic-based one. So I enjoy that because I enjoy the shooting of the guns as well as
what are the other two
the
classes
magic.
I don't remember. It was engineer, outlander,
berserker, a melee type,
berserker, ember mage, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the outlander's the one I picked.
So as soon as you loot something, particularly if you played Diablo before, you recognize it looks exactly the readout of the description of the item looks exactly the way it did on Diablo. You know, there's sockets, it tells you the key strengths, and then boom, you're in. And it feels so very natural playing this game. And this is so weird, it's just a small thing, but I like that I can zoom in and out on my character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Diablo, you were stuck. You're seeing your character about an inch high.
The wheel,
and that's
right?
It. Scroll in and scroll out, and you can zoom in to see the more detail or less detail if you want.
So this is it's a fun game. I just wish it had come out like a month before Borderlands 2.
Yeah, exactly.
But it'll be there. That's the thing. Yeah. It'll still be there. So I'm happy that it's there. And hey, Diablo 3, $60. Torchlight 2, $19. And it didn't take a decade to come out either.
I'm sure it'll probably go on sale.
And it has a papillon.
Yes, it
Nicole,
has a papillon.
If you don't know, I have my dog.
Is that what
papillon.
Joey is?
Oh, yeah. I fixation now.
Joey's a papillon, so.
Okay. And that all makes sense.
This papillon is actually based off of their office mascot. So it's based off of a real dog. And it looks like the real dog. There's a video of him and stuff.
So adorable. And this is just a small thing, but these are the things that make me come back to games. One of the things that I did not like about Diablo 3 was no matter which character you picked, your progression through the story was exactly the same. Mm. You started at exactly the same point. You went to every quest exactly the same, and you were done. The only thing that was random was the mobs
dungeons
that would run at you.
Well, and the dungeons, too. Weren't the dungeons random?
No, the dungeons were all the same. They were all the same. But this has a random start to it. Like, depending on which character you pick, the path to get to the first main city, completely random. You know, I'm crossing a stream on this one, I'm going over hills, blah, blah, blah. No, and then I start another one, it's completely different. So that has gives a feeling of freshness for me. And particularly when you want to try all the different classes and see what they're like, I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. Give me something different. So I dig
does
that.
It have I haven't because I'm not very far into it. Does it have like with Diablo 3? It was like, okay, you finish the game, you beat the game. Now start on Nightmare, and you go through the same thing. Oh, I mean that to me, I'm like, why? That was not appealing to me at all.
Exactly.
I
have no interest in that.
So I'm just, is that what this one, does this one do this something similar, or is it just like, play it, it's done at the end?
I honestly have no idea.
Oh.
That would be an interesting thing to find out.
Yeah. It talks about the plot. It says, as the game progresses, the player treks across large geographical areas corresponding to three acts of the story. Oh, that sounds similar to a game that I know. And it just talks about where the acts are set.
Yeah.
Mountains and desert. So it doesn't say anything about multiple playthroughs. I'm sure. See, this is the kind of game that I could see myself playing in the during the holidays.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
When I'm not, I'm on vacation, and I really did enjoy Diablo 3. I just beat it and I was kind of like, okay, I'm Don't really want to go through it again. So,
okay.
Dungeon crawlers are fun. They're kind of, to me, they're a little mindless. Like, I don't want to think too hard on dungeon crawlers. I dug it when I logged in and played through for an hour or so. So I'm excited about it.
It's just, around it's just December. Bad timing that it's is. Out during Fortnite.
Yeah. Nicole or Kim, I know Kim, you have this game. You just haven't had a chance to install it. Nicole, is this, do you like dungeon crawlers?
I do. And actually I don't even have this yet, but I played it for like, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes. They had a demo set up at PAX East back Easter. When was that? March, April, something like that, a while ago. And it was fun. I mean, it was just a demo. Like, so you got like 15 or 20 minutes. You kind of had a set thing. Like, you may play this. But it was still fun. It gave you a feel for the game. And it was, you know, you got to walk around with a huge gun. And it was fun. I love it when the gun looks like it should topple the character over. Like, it defies the laws of physics. And that's kind of what happens there. So it was cute. And I think probably at some point, but, you know, focused on the Borderlands thing. And then there's more games coming out this week. So it's like, games. I can't spread them out.
So what are some of the games that are coming out this week?
XCOM,
that's right.
And Dishonored comes out. Those are the two that I'm thinking of when I'm saying too many games.
I'm not even gonna look at them. Like, you're not, you're just
don't.
I really have to just plow through. Because here's the problem. If I go on to another game from Borderlands 2, I may not get back to it, and that would really bum me out, because I really want to see this story to the end, because it's engaged me so much. So it's
the same thing when you read a book, like a book comes out and I can't like pick. Some people can have like four books they're reading at the same time. Yeah, I need to read a book and get to the end. I don't care how good all the other stuff is before I can pick up the next book, because I'm worried I won't go back.
Yeah. I've lost a lot of books that way too.
See.
On your Kindle, you're like, hey, I've got like 15 books on here I haven't read, because you forget you buy them because you want it, and then you don't start it till you finish it, and you forget you have it and go buy more. I do that all the time.
Exactly. See, the same thing happens with games. You can buy one at a time, play it through, then move on.
Except for like little iOS games. Those I can kind of come in and out of. So, I mean, I'll have like two or three little iOS game time management things going on over here while my main game's over here.
Yeah, those don't count.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't count.
They don't count.
They're still games. So, speaking of iOS, Kim, you're playing an iOS game called Kingdom Rush. I'm not familiar with this game. What is it?
So this was originally a Flash game for, you know, your browser, but they put it on the iPhone and the iPad. So it's two different games. It's not a universal game.
Gotcha.
But it's a tower defense game.
Oh.
And I don't normally like tower defense games. They kind of stress me out. Time management games stress me out. But this one is so much fun. You have, of course, a set path where the orcs and the bats and the monsters, all the little monsters, go. So they're, you know, coming from one place and they're going into your kingdom. And that's the rush. But you have then the towers. So you have a bomb tower, a wizard tower, like archer's tower, and then your little men come out, your guards. And so as you're playing it, you also get points, and then you can start enhancing your different towers. And your score goes up during the game, and you can then apply the upgrades that you've gotten to those towers as you're going. So it's a ton of fun, and it's a quick, you know, it's one of those quick games that you can pick up. But as it goes along, the games get longer and longer and longer, and all of a sudden you're in a game and you've got these orcs and all the monsters coming from 14 different places. And so you have to plan out your whole strategy in the very beginning. You have to plan out, where am I going to put these towers? What kind of towers am I going to put out? Because there's different kind of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some monsters are immune to the magic. So you've got to make sure you have a bomb or an archer next to a magic site So when those come through, you actually have some killing power. So it's so much fun to play. It's really a different kind of tower defense.
How much is it? Is it like 99 cents?
It's $2.99 for the iPad. I got the iPhone one when it was free, but I think it's 99 cents now.
It is 99 cents because I'm installing it as I'm talking to you.
It really is. And you're fighting in a forest, and it's got a very good, it's a cartoony look, but it's a good look to it. It's really nice. A lot of people say they like the Flash version, which is free. So if you want to try it, go do the Flash version online at just Kingdom Rush, and you can try it there. And then if you like it, put it on the iPad. The Flash version was really kind of cool. I like the precision that you get on it, but of course I like my iPad. So I'm in the car, playing it, or on conference calls at work playing it and things like that.
Is it only single player? There's no like multiplayer or anything like that with it?
Nope. Yeah, this is only single player. There's of course the in-app purchases you can do, but they're very well hidden. And I didn't even actually know there was in-app purchases until I went and got the iPad version. And I was like, but you don't need them at all to get through it, which is good. I like those kind of games that you don't have to have the in-app purchases to actually make the game playable.
That's good. Well, speaking of some iPhone games, we have a few bargain buys. We've mentioned Simpsons Tapped Out on the show before. Nice. It's worth mentioning that they just had an update for the game, and it's now all Halloween. So Simpsons are known for their Halloween episodes. So they decided to take this little free Simpsons Tap Out game and to put all these cool Halloween theme things in it. So you get a graveyard, you get a pet cemetery, you get pumpkins and trees with skeletons hanging from it, you get candy to buy different things. So the Simpsons, I don't even watch the Simpsons anymore. I haven't watched the Simpsons in years.
I haven't seen it in years either, but it's like the longest running cartoon in the history of forever, isn't it?
Longest running show. I mean, at this
point. Well, I think Sesame Street is the longest running show.
That's true.
Yeah. So, but I love this little game. I wake up and I check it. I go to bed right before bed. I check it. I'm like, Stephanie must have TP'd my trees, because you get toilet paper and eggs, so you can go into other people's Simpsons towns and like egg their houses and TP their trees. So it's such a cute little game, and the
zombies, once they come out of the graveyard, they can attack your people in the town.
So like, you have a zombie Homer, zombie exactly. Bart.
Oh, nice.
And Bart and Lisa and Martin all go trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. So they're walking around in little costumes. It's so adorable. I just love its pieces.
Yeah,
I love it too. And it's free.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, of course, you can do the in-game purchases as well, and I'm not doing it. Those donuts are really hard to get.
Yes.
Like, I've played a lot of these kind of games where you're, like, for instance, that No Zombies Allowed game, which I'm still playing. Mm-hmm. You get, like, bucks, like little dollars or whatever, and you use them towards different things. Those are pretty easy to get. You know, I'll get, like, 20, 30 over the course of a couple weeks. But these little donuts in the Simpsons games, which is the currency, the only time you get them is when you level up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really wish
they'd
fix that.
And I made the mistake accidentally of burning them to finish a quest.
I did too. Because the way that it's placed, the way that it's placed on the screen, you accidentally hit the stupid donut. Use your donuts. I've lost so many donuts that way. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So irritating. All you want to do is close the window, and all of a sudden you've burned your donuts. You're like, no! I didn't want to do that!
Burn my donuts.
I'm going to have to go on a run to like Dunkin' Donuts or something. I am so hungry for donuts.
I know. As soon as I'm like, donuts.
So a couple other games I tried out. There's a new game that just came out a couple days ago called Tentacles Enter the Dolphin. And I love this little game.
So creepy.
It is so cute and creepy all the same time. 99 cents. You play this little eyeball thing that has four legs, and your name's Lemmy. And you are ingested, I guess, by a dolphin named Professor Puff or Pluff. I can't. And you go through his veins, basically. This sounds so awful, but it's tap control. You know what it reminds me of? You're sending this little Lemmy guy through. It reminds me of monkey bars. You know, when you're a kid, you swing. So that's what you're doing with this little thing. You're using his four legs and you're swinging, swing, swing, swing. And you're picking up, and when you see like a little eyeball, you like hit it, you tap it, and you destroy it, and you collect its little guts and go through it. And then you have timed things and different achievements. It's a cute little game for 99 cents. And
yeah.
You play through each level. So it's that kind of Angry Birds type a concept where you want to get 3 stars so you can replay each level over and over and over again until you get your 3 stars. Mm-hmm. So it's a cute little game. I like it. And there's boss fights in it too. So
tentacles.
I know. Tentacles enter the dolphin is what it's called.
That just sounds wrong. You know?
It does. It does.
It sounds like the name of like a movie, one of those cheesy movies with characters, you know, monsters in plastic costumes, you know. It's like the dolphin. Yes, it sounds just like that. That's, there should be a movie made based on this little game. It'd be awesome.
That's right.
So there's also another game. It's free, and it's the app of the week, and it's called Lost Winds.
Yes, we've mentioned that before.
Did we? I don't remember this.
Did you? This is a good game.
Yeah, it's really cute. I started playing it. I'm like, oh, I like this game. There's also Lost Winds 2 as well.
Yes, that's when we talked about it. When 2 came out, the original was reduced in price. Gotcha. And now this new one, the reason that it's free is because they've just pushed out an update for the new iPad graphics. So they've updated the graphics to make it look nice.
Yeah, I was playing it going, this is a really pretty game.
Yes. So yeah, definitely snatch that one up. It's a good game.
It's a little platform adventure type of game. And then I'm a huge Yahtzee fan. I don't know why. This is like my guilty pleasure. There's a free app called World Series Yahtzee. So it's free.
All right.
And you can play with your Facebook friends. So similar to Family Feud.
Okay.
You battle each other. So you're the object of the game. You have a set of time, and you got to get the highest score, of course, and you're playing against your Facebook friend or whatever. Or you can play a random person as well. And so you have, I think it's like 6 cards. So you'll have like full house, large straight, small straight, 3 of a kind. And then you can get in, depending, the cards are always different. So you're rolling your dice and you're trying to match up these cards. And like, for instance, full house, I think, gives you 30 points or 25 points or something like that. So you're getting your points and you're running out of time. And you can get time bonuses and things like that. And then it goes to the person you're playing against, and they play, and then it goes back to you, and it's a back and forth. So you play 3 rounds, and it's free. So, and then you get different boosts, and you get coins, and that's where they want you to buy stuff, is when you are doing your boost. So if you're a fan of Yahtzee, it's a cute little free game, and you can play against people. It's not just play on your own, which is like the Yahtzee Adventure game. That was kind of, you could play with others, but it's all local play, so. But yeah, I'm a fan of Yahtzee, so there you go.
Well, yeah, I like that. I like that other Yahtzee game that you had before, and I played that one a lot.
The Yahtzee Adventure ones.
Yeah, like that was a lot of fun.
I play that still on the plane. I'll be bored. I'm like, I'll just pull out my Yahtzee game.
It's nice. Fun to like all of a sudden discover the old games that are on your iPad or iPhone. It's like, wow, I forgot I had this, and then play it again. It's like,
true.
Oh my gosh, it's like a new game.
Sometimes I do that with Sally Salon. I'm like, I remember this game. This was a lot of fun. And then I'll start playing.
You know what game I play every night, even though I've beat it? I talked about it a few episodes ago. Was that Jet Set Go?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Which is the same vein.
It is. Yeah. It's Sally Spa. But it's like, mm-hmm. It's like Sally Spa meets Tap Tap Revolution meets Diner Dash. Because all of those components are in this little Jet Set Go game, and I play it before I go to bed because it makes me sleepy.
It's that exciting.
I get such a great night's sleep after I play this little game. It's ridiculous.
You need to write a little review for it and say that. Perfect game to put you to sleep.
Exactly. I love it so much. It's my favorite game. I really like my sleep. So is there, Nicole, are you playing any iOS games or anything like that?
Yeah, you've probably seen this, but it's just I just found it. So it's Bad Piggies.
No, I don't know this game. Right.
You haven't played
No.
Bad Piggies? Okay, Bad Piggies is like an Angry Birds, I think, the same company. It's a, what is that? They're Rovio. Okay. But it's little pig. It's just the pigs, the birds, whatever with the birds. It's about the pigs. And you have to, you put them in little cars this time, but you have the pieces. Like you'll have a little box that's the pig sits in, and then you'll have another little piece you can click, and that's the wheel. And then you'll have a fan that you can put on one end or your fan on the other end, and you have to make it go down a ramp, and then you have to click when you want the fan to go so he goes over the ramp and over the chasm and gets to the other side. And you have to balance all these little pieces.
It's the opposite a different form of the chicken crossing the road. It's the pig crossing the
It's a different
airway.
And you get points like if certain things happen, like, and you're only given so many pieces. Like you can have two little boxes, and maybe you can have three wheels, and you don't need to use them all, but maybe you do want to use them all. And and then if you do something stupid, like put the fan on the wrong side, you suddenly send your car going zipping back up in the wrong direction, and your kids laugh at you like, "Mom, wrong side."
Do your kids ever give you like hassles with like, "Let me just do it, Mom"?
Oh my gosh, right. No idea. They'll find something like the iOS games, they have iPod touches that they have, you know, they do the little games on, and they'll want me to play something, and I'll have no idea just because I haven't seen it. I'm like, I don't, how does this game work? Mom, that's not how you do it. I'm like, it's a 99-cent game. I've invested by that and an 8-year-old, you know?
Yeah. I remember those days when, especially, first-person shooters, because this is when my kids were older, and or Uncharted. So I'm like going through Uncharted, and I can't get over a wall or some point, you know, jumping across something. And, you know, my 15-year-old son would be like, "Oh, my God, just..." And he, you know, grabs the controller, does it for me, and gives it back. And I'm like, thank you.
See, it was like, there's a game that's kind of like, I don't know if it's Explosion Man, but it's that kind of idea. And you have to run this guy, and he goes over, he likes to bounce off a trampoline and then run across a treadmill and then duck under a swinging thing. I was playing this one section. I got killed 5,000 times. And I couldn't do it. And my daughter's just waiting for me, like, at the finish line, you know, on the top half of the screen. I'm like, "I'm coming, honey. Just give me a minute." She's like, "Do you want me to do it, Mom?" "No, I don't want you to do it. I'm going to do this myself if it kills me."
I know. Oh, Nicole, you will learn this very quickly. The kids are like, you know, and they're so good at this stuff. And, you know, then we're getting older and older. And so we're getting slower and slower. And we're like, "I used to be able to do this awesome. I used to be the bomb at this stuff."
So good. And then I took an arrow to the knee. Is that what you're pretty much saying?
Exactly. That's our excuse now for everything. Oh, yeah.
Mateo's already grabbed the iPhone. So he knows how to hold it. He's like, he respects the iPhone. I'm like, he's not even a 1 year old yet. And I'm just amazed at how he like takes the iPhone and he smiles at it. It's just like, all right.
So, he knows.
He knows.
Someday I will love this.
All right. Well, let's move on to our MMO talk. I still haven't played WoW yet. Mark's playing his little panda named Bamboo Dude. And and I am going to start a panda. But like I said, I got to get through Borderlands 2 before I can let my brain go into another game. But Kim, you were saying you were playing. Have you been doing pet battles?
Yeah. And so this is the reason I'm not higher in Borderlands, because I am splitting my time, which it drives me nuts, because I'll be in Borderlands and I'm like, "Oh, wow, I need to go do this in WoW, or I want to do this in WoW." Then I'm in WoW and I'm like, "Oh, I want to go back to Borderlands now." I wish I had like two computers sitting there that I could do both at the same time.
You would be a talented woman.
Yes. But I have discovered pet battles in WoW. And this is the cutest thing ever. Seriously, it is the cutest thing. You go in, and so all your non-combat pets now can do like Pokemon-type battles. And everyone was calling this Pokemon before it came out. Mm-hmm. And you can name your pet now. You can rename them from whatever they were to a new name. And that's really cool. And then you go through this quest line, and it teaches you how to battle them. And there's different families. You've got critters, dragonkin, mechanical, magical, human, aquatic, things like that. And each family has its own type of abilities. Mm-hmm. And then you can use those. And then, of course, they level up. Your pets level up as you go along. And they'll be like, sometimes you'll enter into a battle and you'll think it's going to be only one pet you're battling, but some other creature joins the battle too. So you've got two creatures you're battling and things. So it's fun. And then you can also, when they get below a certain health, you can capture those pets. And so if you come across a rare, you're like, ooh, so I don't want to kill him. I just want to get him to a certain point and capture him. So now he'll be my pet, you know, and then you can use him to battle other places. I haven't battled anywhere except just out in the wild against other, you know, just wild creatures. Mm-hmm. And I haven't got that far yet. I think my highest level pet is only 6 or 7 now.
I have to say I'm looking forward to that component of the game. It looks fun.
And it's addictive because they put these little green paws on your mini map. So as you're flying around, you see it, you know, it's like mining nodes or flowers. Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, I have to go. Ooh, you know, it just draws you in and you're going to do a specific thing, but you're like, ooh, ooh, green paw, ooh, green paw, green paw. And you just can't help at least checking out what the creature is on the ground and, oh, do I have that pet? Is it, you know, rare or something, you know, and things like
that. Can you, like, hover over it and well, it, has somebody made an add-on yet that says whether or not you have it yet?
Yes. Oh, yep. Good. There's all kinds of add-ons you can get. I think I have two different add-ons. One to tell me which pet is the best to use during the battle because, you know, the different abilities are useful against other type of pets. So I have an add-on that tells me, okay, use this pet because it's the best against it. And then there's ones that tell you what the rarity is.
You'll have to give me the links to those. We'll put them in the show notes for anyone listening.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that because it makes it a lot more fun. And seriously, it is and it's so cute to see your little, you know, rat or your little.
It's so cute. Look at this rat. Like, gnawing.
Except when they die. It is kind of sad when they die. I mean, they revive, of course. But it is sad to see your little pet dead.
Nicole, do you play WoW?
Would you believe I have never, ever played WoW? I've played other MMOs, but the only thing I've ever seen in WoW is my brother-in-law was playing it for years and years and years, and he's like, no, you really like it. And he showed me this, like, dancing bear in a like, tavern. I'm like, I don't know that this is my kind of game, John. And I just never got into it.
Oh, it's a fun game.
It sounds fun.
That's how the three of us met, by the way.
Yes.
Is it really?
We raided together.
Aww, so, yeah. That's so sweet.
We like to kill things together.
Together, and there began your friendship.
Yeah, exactly. What other MMOs? You said you've played other MMOs.
Actually,
what
the games? MMO that I was just really into was Star Wars The Old Republic. I was playing that for a while. Again, Star Wars nerd. So, yeah, I get sucked into that because I got to wield a lightsaber. Yeah. And that was really fun. I really
like
that one.
You'll like this. For Halloween this year, I'm dressing my family up as Star Wars characters.
That's nice. Very nice.
So, Mateo's going to be Yoda. Mateo's going to be Yoda. I have a Jedi costume. Mark has his Jedi costume. And then my dogs, I have a Doberman and a Lab. The girl Doberman is going to be Princess Leia. And the boy Black Lab is going to be Darth Vader. So
nice.
I'm going to try to get a picture of this, but I don't know. Dogs, babies, it's probably not going to happen.
Oh, let's get a chaotic picture. I want to see it.
All right. So we're coming up on an hour. We have a few emails to read. And then we'll wrap the show up. We want to be respectful of Nicole's time. Usually there's times where we've gone and talked about games for like 2 hours. We won't do that today.
Okay. So, that's all right.
And I'll hang in there. Mr. Mateo has woken up from his nap too. So you probably hear him in the background. If you have really good headphones and you're listening to this podcast, you probably can hear him. All right. So you can hear him?
I can hear him.
Yeah.
Yep.
He wouldn't listen.
So our first email is from John. He says, just wanted to say I enjoy the show very much. I think I heard you were looking for the Vault Hunter Collection edition of Borderlands 2. I saw it online at Newegg for about $100, and he gave us the link. I just wanted to say thank you for that email, John. But it's not the collector's edition. It's the Ultimate Loot Chest Limited Edition, which is about $300, depending on. In fact, I'm looking on Amazon right now, and for the PlayStation 3 version of the Ultimate Loot Chest, it's only $200.
That's not bad. Really? Well, that's not bad, because that's only $50 over the original price.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I'll probably just keep watching, because I want that. I still want that so bad.
And then for the Xbox 360, it's $249. Mm. And for the PC, it's $348.
Yeah, I want to get it for the PS3. So
yes.
And Fusk is all mad at me because I haven't got it for the PS3 yet. And he's like, come play with me. And I'm like,
He has the game too. And I have it for PS3. Maybe we should all get... I really just want to finish it.
Yeah, right.
Because usually these multiplayer-esque games don't really do anything for me except delay me from the story. So it's fun. I like doing multiplayer, but I always find myself being like held back from the story. So I'm playing Borderlands 2 as strictly as a single-player game because I just I'm like powering through it.
I will warn you that you'll hit a town called Opportunity.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
There's one quest in there that I was completely unable to do by myself. I had to have friends help.
Might have to recruit you then.
Yep.
All right, we got another email from Kazoo. He says, hello, lovely ladies. Just listened to your last episode. Awesome tip about Lemmings. Love that game. Now to prove that I am much older than all of you, you were putting Bard's Tale at the beginning of the 21st century. Actually, it's much, much older. I was playing it in 1985 on my Apple IIGS, and later I bought it for my Atari ST. It really was the very best RPG of its time and probably the game that brought me into this genre. Greetings from Switzerland. Love the show. Please keep them coming more regularly. We're trying, Kazoo. So I had no idea. I'm kind of a little embarrassed that I didn't know the history of Bard's Tale. So they must have, it sounds like it's been in the gaming world for a very long time.
He can't be much older than me because I was playing Ultima 2.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
On my little mobile thing, and I had to take out the discs and turn them over to go into towns or dungeons. So,
SeaWorld 2.
I'm right there with you. I'm not a young pup.
All right. We also have an email. Did Kim or Steph, either of you want to read this one or when we just.
Yeah, I'll read it.
Okay.
Let's see here. Hello, Ladies Elite. I'm Jen. I love your show and value your gaming girl perspective. Gamer girl. When faced with this decision, I immediately thought of contacting you. I can't seem to make up my mind and I need your advice. I was given a $50 gift card to GameStop for my birthday by my father-in-law of all people, and I'm not sure what I want to spend it on. I'm an Xbox Live member and a huge Mass Effect fan. Currently, I'm working through Skyrim, which I also love. Yay. On a side note, I would like to finish ME3, but it took...
It locked up.
But it locked up during a big boss fight, and I can't play it anymore. Oh, my God. Ugh.
That would be horrible.
I read it's a common issue, and either my gamer profile has been corrupted on EA servers, or my Xbox hard drive is dying. Either is possible, and neither is good, but I digress. Here's a little background to aid you in your suggestions. I prefer RPGs, but enjoy FPS games too. Mainly the ones that allow me to experience the game through the character's eyes rather than the third person. I love a great storyline and engaging characters. I usually lean towards games that allow me to customize the character and choose the female players over male because it feels a lot more immersive, which I agree. Before you recommend it, I did try Dragon Age, but the third person view drove me nuts. Don't hate it. Don't hate me.
Oh, no.
Is there anything other than ME3, Skyrim, Fable, Dragon Age that I should try? Do you know of anything awesome coming out down the pike? Perhaps something obscure that's already out that I haven't tried? Should I wait until the next BioShock game comes out? It looks awesome. Ouch, this card is burning a hole in my pocket.
So I think you know what I'm going to suggest. I think we're all going to suggest Borderlands 2 for you. She sounds like she'd be perfect for it.
Yeah,
totally. If you haven't, if you haven't used that card yet, go buy Borderlands 2. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was thinking, okay, Fallout, of course, for me, Fallout Vegas,
yeah, Vegas.
Mm-hmm. For me would be a good one. And I was actually thinking BioShock or Fable, because Fable on the Xbox is terrific. I loved it. So those, you know, if that would be my suggestion. BioShock is a great game too. I don't know if she's played that one, but
she did say she did play well, she's waiting for the next BioShock.
Mm. So she probably has played the BioShock. But yeah, when I was reading this through and I'm going through it, I'm like, okay, Fable, and she got to Fable. I'm like, Dragon Age. Oh, she got to Dragon Age.
The problem is, I mean, it's only $50. That might get you Borderlands 2. If you're looking for older games, games like Singularity, that was a really good game. That was BioShock. Awesome. You could probably pick that up for $10.
I don't think that was really an RPG and immersive like she
was immersed. I totally felt immersed in that
story. Game. It had a good story.
Yeah, it had a great story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the guns were so much fun.
And the abilities, the kind of to be able to
the aging things.
Yeah,
and,
you could age things and bring it back and do some really cool stuff. I liked it. Yeah. What about you, Nicole? Are you into any first person shooters besides Borderlands 2?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking the same as you're going through your list and I'm listening to you talk. I'm like, oh, she's played that.
Yep, right. Yeah.
So what I'm running into, I'm like, the things I want to suggest you've already played. That makes it challenging.
Yeah. So, well, thanks, Jen, for your email. Hopefully, you were able to use that card. She is also a podcaster. She does a podcast called Anomaly Podcast. I don't know what that
is. And I think I listened to a couple of new podcasts, so I think I'm getting confused, but I think I listened to it and I really liked it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the email, Jen. All right, and then our final one is from Jim, quote, Nappy. He says, long-time listener, first-time emailer, a long overdue letter a long overdue letter, if thanks for all you do. It is probably a lot of work to make such an awesome podcast. Thanks for keep doing it as long as it is fun. I hope that's for a long time. Mm-hmm. I can't read anymore. I'm tired. Great to hear about Dragon Con and super cool that you mentioned the new puppet track. If any of you do actually start playing DCUO, I would be delighted to kick some superhero butt with all of you. I would even consider creating a hero tune if needed, but only necessary as heroes are big duty heads. Oh, that's awesome. I still have my character on my DCUO account.
I do too, and I love that game. It's such a fun game, and now that it's free to play, I should go back to it.
I really should too. Yeah, and I just got to
find extra time.
My problem was I was playing on my PS3. Jim, you didn't say if you're playing on PC or PS3 because I know they don't cross. Or maybe they did and they fixed that. I don't know. But I had set up all my accounts on my PS3. And my problem was the game was so huge that my PS3 could not hold it anymore. Mm. Like with all my other stuff on it. I finally got a new PS3 with a bigger hard drive. So I can actually go back to this game now. So did you, Nicole, did you ever play DCUO?
No, I never did. I never got into it.
Fun little game. It's a fun little superhero game.
Yeah.
And it's free to play, so we don't have time for all these games. I swear, I think about just the opportunities for gameplay for kids nowadays. It's crazy how many games there are.
Yeah.
Especially free to play. So
free to play thing is like a blessing and a curse. It's great because it allows you to try different things because you don't have to worry about all those monthly subscription fees. But at the same time, like, I do have to shower and do laundry.
What?
And that makes it hard.
Really? Showering's overrated.
Is it? Okay. Then I'll just cross that right off the
cooking,
list.
Cooking, eating, taking care of your family, a clean house. Yeah.
I'll throw some Cheerios on the floor. They'll be good.
Exactly. So see, you're cleaning your house at the same time because they're acting like little vacuum cleaners.
Exactly. Their little knees on the floor will just clean up all the dirt and dust.
Sorry about that. I guess that's like the Jeopardy song. Okay, we're going over here.
Yeah, like the Oscars when they're trying to wrap you up.
That's exactly what that music is. It's right around the time of when I usually end the show. So maybe that's our cue. But it was awesome having you on the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been very fun talking with you ladies.
Definitely. If people want to get a hold of you or check out what you do, where can they go to find all about you?
You can find me. I'm on Twitter all the time, at Nicole Wakelin. I have my own blog called Total Fangirl. And you can also hear me on the Geek Moms podcast and find me writing for Wired's Geek Mom blog.
Awesome. I love Wired, by the way. It's one of my favorite magazines.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. I kind of like them too.
All right. So, Stephanie, for those that want to get a hold of us, send us emails or voicemails or whatnot, how can they do that?
Well, first, you want to go to the website, ladiesofleet.com, and if you do want to send us a voice message, you can click on the little tab that pops up on the right-hand side, click on that, and then you can record your message and send it to us. Or you can send a traditional email, ladiesofleet@gmail.com, and of course, we're all on Twitter. There is the Ladies of Leet Twitter, which was rebroadcasting all those amazing Borderlands codes as they came out.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. We have Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is just Kim Molly, JustKimOlly. And myself is XIAXIAN1.
Awesome. Well, that's the music that tells us the show's over. So thank you for tuning in and listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks where we will talk about games. I don't know yet. Maybe some XCOM. I don't know. We'll figure.
Something.
Maybe some more Torchlight. Maybe Borderlands 2 again. Who knows? So.
But then we might have finished the story.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all kind of funny. It's not good.
It better be good. Really, this is what the Mass Effect 3 people were feeling. All right. So thanks again. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Nicole.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.